So there was one other piece that we did not get into for lack of time when we discussed the issue of ribis for good purposes, and along with that ribis with tzedakah funds, where you increase the tzedakah fund by paying ribis. One case that we weren't able to get into at the end was the issue of credit unions. So the truth is there are many permutations to the credit unions question. I'm going to take a basic format. The Nesiva Shalom in Kuf Samach has a nice long discussion in Kuf Samach Yud Ches. But most basic form, a credit union, for our purposes, is a nonprofit which extends loans to the members, meaning the members donate dues to the credit union. That creates a pool of money that's then available for lending. The credit union extends the loans to its members at low interest rates, and then the income either becomes money that's reinvested in the credit union, keep the credit union running, or build a pool of money for loans, or it's distributed to the members as dividends. As a side note, credit unions are often tax-free in the United States. I don't know the Canadian rules. If they have members who share some kind of a common bond, as opposed to a bank, the credit union is supposed to be serving this group of members who get together to be able to have these loans. In any case, what I want to discuss is the case of the credit union, which extends not a low-interest loan to members, but a no-interest loan to members. So we're not dealing with the ribis issue in terms of the loan itself. Nonetheless, we still have a ribis problem, because the members who receive the loans have already given dues, or may be currently giving dues as ribis, right? So I contribute to the overall pool. I contribute $50 a month. And then at some point, I get a loan for $1,000. So when I pay it back, I'm not just paying back $1,000. I'm paying back $1,000 plus my $50 a month. So if the dues have to continue to be paid during the loan, let's try that in English. If I need to pay my dues in order to receive this loan, and during the loan I am paying dues, then it's very clear that this is ribis ketzutza, right? This is bona fide biblical ribis, because one of the terms of my loan is that I pay not only the $1,000, but that I pay $50 a month. So that's ribis ketzutza. But what if I only pay the dues at the outset? We set up this credit union 10 years ago. At the time that it was set up, I paid money into it, as did everybody else, and I haven't paid any money since. So is this still a ribis problem? So at least this would be a ribis mukdemes problem. Ribis mukdemes, which I expect to give shiur on Erev Rosh Hashanah, but ribis mukdemes, early ribis, is a case in which somebody is going to need a loan in the future, and he gives a gift to the prospective lender in advance as a way to curry favor. Whether it's explicit or implicit is something we need to discuss, but basically he gives something in advance that makes him eligible to receive this loan at a later date. Ribis mukdemes is a derabanan problem. It's not ribis ketzutza. It's not fixed. It's not said. It's not at the time of a loan. Nonetheless, it is prohibited midirabanan. That's ribis mukdemes, and it would appear that that's what my dues are. By giving my dues 10 years ago, I qualify to be able to get a loan now. Actually, though, Rabbi Akiva Eger in Kuf Samach Vav, as well as Chavos Das in Kuf Samach Biurim Gimel, they argue that this is ribis ketzutza. This is bona fide biblical ribis because the loan depends on the ribis payment. If you take a look on the sheet at, where did I put it? At source Lamed Dalet, that's the Shulchan Aruch's discussion of ribis mukdemes. It says, Nasan in of Livos Mimenu. You set your eyes on getting a loan from somebody. And you send him a gift. Upirish bishvil sheyalvahu. And in parentheses it says, and you specify that it's for the sake of the loan. That's, again, subject to some discussion. Oshu matana maruba v'mistama havikilu pirish lo. Or the gift you sent him was so large that it's very clear that it's not just your random gift, but it's with the goal of receiving something back from him. So he says, the Zoe ribis mukdemes, that is early ribis. So on that, Rabbi Kibaker comments, source Lamed Hay, Nira Lefini is Daiti. Dizehu davka b'sholeach lo derech matana. He says, it appears to me that this is only ribis mukdemes specifically if you send it as a gift. Umvakesh mimenu sheyilveyu bishvilzeh. And then you say to him, you know, could you lend to me? I gave you this money. V'hu derech shochad bialma. It's a bribe, essentially. Avalam hisna amenas sheyilveyu. However, if you made a condition, if the stipulation was, I am giving this to you so that you will lend to me, implying, im kenem eino malvetzarech lahazir, implying that if he does not actually lend the money, then he has to give you back the gift. Ubishaz halva havi kenosein lo, so that at the time of the loan, it's as though he is giving him the ribis at this point. V'dome ka'omer chov she'etzli machulach b'tenai shel talveni. It's as though you said to a lender, you owe me money, I'm going to forgive it, I'm going to forgive your debt to me in the event that you lend me money now. Davi ka'omer im talveni achov machulach. That's no good. That's like saying, if you, I'm saying, Talveni, that's like saying, if you lend to me, hachov machulach, then the loan will be forgiven. Davi rivis kitsutsa, that's for sure no good, right? The in a case in which you owe me money, and I come back to you and say, listen, if you'll lend to me, I'll forgive the debt, then that's rivis kitsutsa, because I am forgiving the debt. That's my rivis payment. So too here, in our discussion, if I paid my dues to the credit union, I am a member in good standing, and I come to them and say, it's time for you to extend a loan to me, and they say no, I'm going to demand my dues back. So there's no question that there's a hard link between the money that I provided for them in my dues and the loan that I'm getting right now, to the point where I could demand it back in the event that they didn't extend the loan. So in that case, it really does seem like this should be, as Rabbi Akiva Eiger claims, ribis kitsutsa, not just ribis mukdamis. So that's our objection. So what do you do? Does that mean that this sort of gamach credit union thing is no good? So the Nesiva Shalom in his discussion offers you four different approaches to permit this. The first one we're going to drop, but the other three are very interesting. The first approach is to say, as we've discussed earlier when we talked about stucca funds, to say that the credit fund is mamon shein labaylim. It is money that has no owner, and therefore you could lend it out for ribis. That would be the argument. The Nesiva Shalom himself mentions this. I brought a short excerpt in Source Lamed Vav. L'chora nira degam keren kazu nechsheves kebailus chadasha she'ena yidua ve'enaksofim shayachem lebailim. Just to show you where he says it, that a fund like this would be viewed as some kind of a new entity. It's not a it's not an individual. It's simply holding. This may go back to the question of how we view corporations, but it's a separate entity that there is no particular owner. Now, others might argue against, because this is the property of the members. The argument that the money doesn't have owners applies where it's a fund that nobody can claim. But if you go back to our discussion from the Gemara Bava Kamet Sadi Gimel about cuts, where the property, where the stucca money, I should say, is designated for particular paupers, particular needy people, so the same thing is true here. This money is only for the members. So you could make the argument that this doesn't work for the case of the credit union with the members. I think that argument could be made against this. Further, even if you will accept this idea that he's suggesting this is mamash in lebailim that doesn't have owners, it still isn't going to help, because even the Rashba, who brings the ein lebailim yiduim argument, says, you know, you shouldn't actually do this. And we follow the Rosh and the Sefer HaTrumos, who don't permit it in the first place. So the argument of ein lebailim isn't going to wash. But the latter three arguments are interesting. The second argument is, let's decouple loans from membership. In other words, our objection is that the people who paid the dues are gaining the right to a loan by doing so. So let's separate it out. There should be no benefit for members at all. Anybody can receive a loan from this, and the members who gave get no priority for having given the loans. They simply did a nice thing. They established this fund for the community. Wait, wonderful. They may get a loan. They may not get a loan. The dues are just a gift to create the fund. The Nesiva Shalom quotes this from Rabbi Yosef Shalom al-Yashiv in source Lamed Zayin. He says, Mimar Nagon Rav Yosef Shalom al-Yashiv Shamanu Shedaito Hi Da'av Shenaktina Lahachmer Keshita Sefer HaTrumos V'Harash. He says, we heard in the name of Rav al-Yashiv that even though we are strict, we follow the Sefer Trumos, we follow the Rosh, the Yisur Ribbis Noagim Gam Bailam Sheinem Yiduim, that Ribbis will apply even if the owner is not, even if there is no known owner, whether you're dealing with Deraisa, whether you're dealing with Derabanan. Mikomakom Yisur Ribbis Mugdemes Eno Shayach Bazeh. But he says, still, there will be no Yisur Ribbis Mugdemes. There will be no prohibition of Ribbis Mugdemes here. Why? We have to deal with the Ribbis Kitsutsa thing. He'll come back to that. But if you can knock it down to Ribbis Mukdemes, then there's no concern. Because the Kaven She'inyan is the Ribbis Mukdemes, who Shemeshagir lo Doron, Kodem ha Halva, Mishadelo, so Bazela Halva's love. Since the issue of Ribbis Mukdemes is that you send him a gift in order to persuade him to extend you a loan, Ein Ze Shayach Babailim She'inim Yiduim. That's not relevant where there is no owner. There is no individual with whom you are currying favor by giving in your dues. So that's his way to knock it down from Ribbis Mukdemes. But how did you get there in the first place? What about the fact that this is Ribbis Kitsutsa? Because you're paying your dues in order to get a loan. So that's where the decoupling of membership from receiving a loan comes into play. He ruled that if you would satisfy the conditions that were stated earlier, meaning that whatever money the members give is now property of the fund and they can't claim it back. Even if they don't get a loan, it's too bad. The dues are already given. And there is no obligation for the members to receive loans. There's no obligation upon the fund's administrators to give a loan to the members. And there is no obligation for members to continue to pay dues into the fund after getting a loan. So there's no obligation in any direction. So he says, Yatzanu bazeh mechashash ribbis kitzutza. So now we've dropped the ribbis kitzutza concern. V'lo nosar ala chashash ribbis mukdemes. The only thing that remains is the mukdemes issue. Is this like you gave somebody a gift in order to encourage him to like extend you a loan? And he says, L'gabe chashash zeh ahora kedilael ve'eno kayim benidon. Didan, it should say, shall bailam shenim yiduim. That won't be relevant in our case of non-specific ownership. And then in brackets he adds, v'od hosif l'ravcha, the milsa sheyisnu betakanos hakeren shagaborim rashem lahavos ksavim gam lanoshim sheinim chayvrim bekeren zeh. He says, to make it even better, meaning less like Ribbis Kitsutsa, you'd have to have a condition saying, or you should have a condition saying, that the gaborim can extend the money to non-members. They can extend, not just that being a member doesn't entitle you to a loan, but, in addition, you could get a loan if you're a non-member. You remove any incentive to pay dues in order to get a loan. The Nesiva Shalom himself isn't so comfortable with it. He still doesn't like this so much. He argues that it may still be a problem. Nonetheless, that's your second approach, is decouple the loans from memberships. There's no benefit for members at all, and there's no guarantee of getting a loan, and the dues are a separate gift, and that's the way you knock it down from Ribbis Kitsutsa, and then you solve Ribbis Mukdemes by saying, and there are no owner. There are no owners for you to be currying favor with. The third approach is the reason why it's part of this shiur about staka money, is to view the credit fund, which extends these loans, as tzedaka money. And therefore, that money could be extended for ribbis derabanan in order to grow the tzedaka money, assuming you cannot do this down to ribbis mukdemes. And that's the third approach. Can you view this as tzedaka money? So in the event that it's a no-interest loan, I think you have a lot to rely on. What if it's a low-interest loan? It's lower than what it would cost the person to get a loan on the open market. But would you still be able to call it a tzedaka fund? So it spares the borrower from getting a loan with higher ribbis elsewhere. So the truth is, we have a tshuva of the Binyan Tzion, which I cited in source Lamed Ches. He says, regarding low-interest loans, Ein l'damo zeh l'tzorech tzedakah. He says, you should not compare a low-interest loan to tzedakah. Kevin de ribbis l'nidon l'tzedakah. El l'harbos hono l'scharam is askin b'halva. That's his particular case. Maybe I shouldn't start at that point. His general point within this tshuva is probably not the best excerpt. I should have brought more of the tshuva here. But his basic point is that yes, helping aniyim, helping the needy at their time of need, is called tzedakah. Nonetheless, it's not called tzedakah if you're charging him interest, which is just, you know, enriching you, or in this case, you know, you're enriching the fund. He doesn't like calling that a loan that is tzedakah, such that ribbis may be justified. However, it's not so clear that his statement will be applicable to our discussion. When he says a low-interest loan is not tzedakah, that may be as far as issues of equating it with hekdesh. For our purposes, it actually may be tzedakah, especially because the money is not enriching anybody, it's going back into the fund. So I'm not so sure, and this Nisiv HaShalom is not so sure, that this is actually relevant here. But that's your third approach. The last approach is Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach is quoted in the Nisiv HaShalom in Yud Ches, Nun Vav and Nun Zayin. And he looks at this entirely differently. I brought you a one-line excerpt. He says in Source Lamed Tes, Hol ve'ein shum chiyuv al ha'anashim lahalvos. Since there is no obligation on the members of this fund to extend the loan, we're assuming that that's true, ein ze ela shutfus. So all it is a partnership. Don't look at this as a loan enterprise. Look at it as an investment. It's a joint investment. All of the people who paid dues to create this fund are investors. They pooled their money together with the goal that money should be available for loans in a case of need. Look at it as a partnership, as a joint investment of partners in which each partner has rights to the total invested funds. Don't look at it as a loan fund altogether. It's a fascinating idea. See more in the Nisiv HaShalom there.